The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Go back, if you will, to 2 Samuel chapter 23 and verse 11. We try to stay on time. We run, of course, transportation all over the Dallas metro, and so I do my best to try and stay on time because of our transportation system. And so I'm going to speak to you for 25 minutes, and I want you to listen as fast as I speak, please. In 2 Samuel chapter 23 and verse 11, the Bible says, "And after him was Shammah, the son of Agi." The Bible says, "the Hararite." "And the Philistines were gathered," it says, "together into a troop, where a piece of ground full of lentils," and again, that's beans, the Bible says, "the people fled from the Philistines." So first they gather into a troop, and now they're fleeing from the Philistines. But the Bible says he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory. And so here you see this one by the name of Shammah, and he stands there. He stands alone, by the way. He defends the ground, and as he defends the ground, God gives a great victory. In the New Testament, you would see, of course, the Apostle Paul at the end of the days of his life in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7, where it says, "I fought a good fight, I finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day, but not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." And so I like to speak this morning on three cheers for the heroes. Three cheers for the heroes. Today is the 100-year celebration of what we call the Great War. It was on the 11th month, the 11th day, and the 11th hour that the Great War, World War I, ended. Our part in World War I was 4.7 million Americans that was involved in World War I. There was a total civilian and military casualties at a number of over 40 million people. 15 to 19 million, depending on where you get your statistics, is estimated had died in that war. Over 23 million was wounded. In World War II, there was over 60 million people that was killed. That's 3% of the world's population. Some have said because of those that were related issues to World War II, it climbed up to over 80 million people that was killed in that war. Yesterday, Brother and Mrs. Butler, myself, and my dear wife drove over to Cooper, Texas to visit some of our members that are in Cooper, Texas. And on the way back, we had the privilege to stop by Audie Murphy's Memorial Center there. And, of course, he was the most decorated soldier in World War II. Can I say we've always loved heroes? We've always loved to be able to think about those that have given their very best in serving Christ, yes, in serving our country. Examples of some real heroes is found in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. And in verse 23, the Bible says, "And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson." It says of Jephthah. It says of David also, and Samuel, and the prophets. And so here in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, they say, what more can we say? The time has lapsed. The time has expired where we could recognize these that gave of themselves. Not even the prophets or those that conquered kingdoms or those that administered justice or those that gained because of promises that were made or those that stood in the mouths or in the lion's den facing the mouths of the lions or the fiery furnace, if you would please, filled with flames, or those that gave themselves from the edge of the sword, or those that stood in great strength, and those that had power in battle, those that even fought with foreign enemies. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 23 says, "And what shall I say more?" And so there are those that have become heroes of the day. Back in 1938, 8 on November the 11th at the 11th hour. Of course, there was that which was signed, which was going to be world peace. But in 1954, after there was wars that was fought, it became known as a Veterans Day to honor all those veterans that had fought in all wars. Here in 2 Samuel chapter 23, we're reminded of those that have fought in battle. And note this, if you will, God made mention of their names. God lists their names. So God is interested in us honoring veterans. Have you ever thought of that? God is interested in us honoring veterans. The Bible says in Psalm 144 in verse 1, that says the Psalm of David, it says, "Blessed be my Lord," it says, "Blessed be the Lord of my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight." And so somebody says, well, is it okay to go to war? And somebody says, is it okay for us to be able to fight? Here, David is giving thanks to the Lord who taught him to be able to have hands of war and fingers that do fight. In Psalm 144 and verse 2, the Bible says, "My goodness and my fortress and my high tower is delivered, my strength," and it says, "and he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me." So here David looks at God and says, "I want to thank you for giving me refuge in the times of war." The Bible says in Psalms 144 and verse 6, the Bible says, "Cast forth lightning and scatter them, and shoot out thine arrows and destroy them." Verse 7, the Bible says, "Send thy hand," it says, "from me above, rid me and deliver me out of the great waters and the hand of the strange children." In Psalm 144 and verse 12, the Bible says why there is wars. The Bible answers that. Somebody says, well, is there always going to be wars? Oh, I believe so. Somebody says, well, why is there wars? Is it important that we do have wars? God tells in His Word why there is wars. The Bible says in Psalm 144 and verse 12, it says, "And our sons," it says, listen to it now, "that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, and that our daughters may be in the cornerstones, polished," it says, "after the substitute of the palace." The Bible says in verse 13, "And our garners may be full, affording all," it says, "a matter of store, and our sheep may bring forth," it says, "thousands and tens of thousands in our streets, and our oxen may be strong to their labor." And it says that there be no breaking in and no nor going out. It says that there be no complaining in our streets. So what he's saying that is war is there to protect our youth. War is there to be able to protect our land, is to be able to give safety to the people that dwell therein. Nobody likes war. Nobody, I believe, goes to war for that which is the sheer purpose of going to war. But you see in the scriptures how there's many times that that is mentioned, and it's always mentioned by God when it comes to protecting of those that are near and dear to her hearts. You'll see that in the Bible over in Psalm 23, verses 8 through 12, that David names these mighty men. I'll mention a few of them. There was one man that raised his spear against 800 men, and God used him to be able to bring a great victory. Next, you see that there's a fellow by the name of Eleazar. And Eleazar was a man that was there among three. And all of a sudden, David begins to taunt the Philistines. And now the Philistines begin to rise. And this one man by the name of Eleazar, when all of the Israelites fled, stood there and brought the victory that God had wanted to have. Can I tell you, there's always going to be somebody that needs to stand. There's always going to be somebody that needs to be able to protect the land. There's always going to be somebody that rises up and says, I'm going to stand for that which is the freedom of humanity so that humanity is not enslaved. You'll see that Shammah was the one that stood there in the lentils field that I read at the very beginning of the message. And you'll see that the Israelite troops were gathered beside him, that all of a sudden the Israelite troops begin to shake and quake in fear, and they decide that they're going to run, and they run, and Shammah is left there by himself in the middle of the bean field, and he stood against the Philistines, and he fought, and he won. But why is it now that years had gone by, as you see the story of the Israelites, and it just seemed like that David now has to rise up, and David has to fight again? Now, why is that? Because many of his forefathers decided that they would not fight anymore. They decided they would not take on the Philistines anymore. They would not take on the Amorites anymore. They would not take on the Canaanites anymore and all the other ites anymore. And they just decided that, okay, we're not going to do that. By the way, that's recorded in Deuteronomy chapter 9 and Deuteronomy chapter 20 and the book of Judges chapter 1, where the Israelites just decided they were not going to fight anymore. And so David found himself in a place where he was forced into rising up to fight some battles that should have been fought by his forefathers, and it should have been won by his forefathers, but was not fought and was not won. Then the time of Judges came, and it was not fought and it was not won. And because of that, the heathen brought in their gods, and now those that would not fight and those that would not stand, you'll find out, are in captivity in their own land. And now you'll see that here David rises up, and David said, I'm going to be able to defend my God. Charismatic leader, I do believe he was, with his demeanor. I believe David was somebody that could get people to follow him, as you'll see in the scriptures. And David did a mighty thing. But can I say, why is it that we ought to honor those that are veterans that do mighty works for God? Why is it that we ought to honor those that serve our country? Why is it that we ought to honor those that stand for truth? Why is it that when somebody comes into a restaurant and you find out that they're a veteran and you find out that they've served our country, that you ought to honor them and those that are serving presently today? And why do we have such a service as this? Let me give you just four things very shortly. Statement number one, we do it to remember the price for freedom. We do it to remember the price for freedom. Don't forget that there was valiant warriors that stood on the bank that day when a giant by the name of Goliath came out, and the giant that was there waiting for 40 days, and Saul's trying to get somebody to come out to fight him, and Saul, the king, says this, if you fight him and you win, I'll give you a royalty. You'll be able to marry into royalty. You don't have to pay any more taxes, and your family will never have to pay any more taxes, but nobody would stand. And all of a sudden, here comes this young man by the name of David. David comes along, and in 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 29, he says, is there not a cause? See, David inside of his heart knew that somebody had to do something. Thank God for young people today that realize that somebody has to do something. Thank God for those that stand for God. Thank God for those that fight for our country. Thank God for a place that we can have that's called America, because somebody paid the price, and a supreme price did they pay. In 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 45, the Bible says, and then said David, says to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. He says, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. He said, this day the Lord will deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee, and I will take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcass, it says, unto the host of the Philistines this day, unto the fowls of the air, and to the wild beast of the earth, and to all the earth may see that there is a God in Israel. All right, there's a price that's paid. Why do we honor veterans? Why should we always honor veterans? Because there's a price that they pay for our freedom. Statement number two, we ought to honor them because of those who do enter into battle, because they do fight, because there is times of war, because there is times when they have to step up even to a higher plate and be able to possibly even lay down their lives for that which is the cause of the holy cause of freedom. And 2 Samuel chapter 23 and verse 18, you'll see that the Bible calls him Ashbishai, and he is that which is the brother of Joab. The Bible says that he was chief among the three, but he did not start off, may I remind you, as chief among the three. Matter of fact, he was just there. But because he rose up, he became the captain of the three. He became the commander, if you would please, among the three. Now, why? Simply because there was a cause. There was a need. And he rose up to be able to lead in that particular need. And can I tell you, how is it that we can honor those? Honor those that fight for freedom. How can you do it? Well, here's a simple way, a basic way to do it. Say thank you. Say thank you. You can train your children to say thank you.
Amen.
You as a teenager, you as a college age young person, you can say thank you. It doesn't take much energy to walk up to somebody, extend the hand, get yourself a smile, and utter the words, thank you. Thank you for serving, and thank you for sacrificing. Oh, maybe you could do this. Maybe you could prepare some care packages to send them to our overseas soldiers. Write Christmas cards. Write a birthday card. You say, I don't know when their birthday is, but you do know they have one. So write a birthday card. You see them at McDonald's or Burger King or steak place, whatever the place may be, buy their meal. Treat them to coffee. Go up, if you would, please, and introduce them or introduce your child to them. Let your child see some heroes. I'm saying remember the price of freedom. Honor those who fought for freedom. Learn from their example. Here you'll see in 2 Samuel 23, you'll see that there were those that took a stand. You'll see also in verse 8, there was one that was called a dino. A dino was an individual, if you would please. In verse 8, you'll see that he stood one against 800, but God gave the victory. In 2 Samuel 23 and verse 11, we mentioned Shammah already, but Shammah was somebody that defended a pea patch, but he stood. You'll see also in 2 Samuel, if you will, in verse 9 that there was Eleazar. And Eleazar, he fought so hard that his hand did clave to the sword. Can I tell you, there are those that go, and here's what their motto is. Their motto is no retreat, no reserve, no regrets. And so those that stand, and there's an example there. There's an example for our young people to be able to follow. There's an example to be able to say, hey, that's a soldier that is defending our freedom. That's a soldier. Why so much emphasis on it, preacher? I'll tell you why there's so much emphasis on it, because it is being de-emphasized. We teach our young people to honor the police officers. They are ministers, if you would please, that would go out and try to be able to bring peace into our present land. Oh, can I tell you, listen, there's a time that we ought to be able to honor them. How do you do it? Remember the peace that they fought for. Remember the price that they paid. Honor those that have paid that price. Learn from their examples. Learn from their examples. Listen to the stories. Listen to the character. Listen to, if you would please, the persecution and maybe some even in prison camps that paid a dear price. Listen to them. Then what do you do? Lastly, I'll say this, and that is pray for them. Pray for them. I think sometimes we look at prayer and we say, well, and that's the littlest thing that you can do. Oh, no, my dear friend. The God in heaven still answers prayer. The God in heaven still comes through. The God in heaven can protect people. The God in heaven can be able to give that which is guidance through that which is a dark night, a lonely night, a destitute night. He can bring comfort to that which is the lonely heart. And so what do? We pray for them. We pray for them. I'm not talking about now I lay me down to sleep. I'm not talking about a childlike prayer. I'm talking about earnestly going before the throne of grace, and like David had a hold of the hands of the altar of God. I'm talking about how you and I ought to decide that we pray for those that's in harm's way. The Bible says in Psalm 144 and verse 5, last verse I'll read, here's what it says. The Bible says, bow, it says, thy heavens, O Lord, and come down. It says, torch the mountains. The Bible says, and they shall smoke. Let's never forget that God is the one. That God is the one. Let's never forget that God is the one that sends protection. God is the one. If you ever pick up some of the stories of some of our soldiers, especially it seemed like more so in World War II, and I don't understand why, but more so in World War II than any other war that I've ever read, how God miraculously would bring in the fog and then lift it at certain times. How God miraculously would all of a sudden cause things that only the hand of God could do that protected our soldiers by the thousands. Now, you cannot tell me that God does not want to protect that which is the land of the brave and the home of the free here in America. Do you know this? I travel quite extensively. Most of you know that. And do you know when I travel, no matter where I travel to around the world, whether it's in Cambodia or whether it's in Africa or whether it's in the Philippines or some other country, here's what we find out, that the national language, if you would please, what they call the common trade language, overtakes the national language when it comes to commerce. Well, what am I saying? I'm saying this, that no matter what large city you go to, anywhere in the world, when you find business associates, most of the time, if not almost all of the time, do they speak English? Why is that true? I believe it's true because God realized that America at one time was a great missionary sending agency. And I believe that that God began to work and to fabric through the economy and through our world economic system to be able to allow us to enter into different countries because of the language that we spoke, to be able to get the gospel to the ends of the world. Mm-hmm. Now, can I tell you, listen, God is the one that answers prayer. God is the one that comes through. Oh, you say, preacher, all you can do is just say a little prayer. Oh, no, but you have a big God that hears a little prayer. Right. How many times we get on our knees and pray for that which is the soldier? Pray for those that are your loved ones that serving in military service. Pray for those that are putting their lives, their very lives on the line. Pray for those that are standing, if you would please, in different areas of positions of government as well. And pray for those that are officers as well. But can I tell you, more than anything else, listen to me. Pray for that soldier, especially, if you will, as they get out on the front lines and, if you will, being able to protect our freedom. Now, Father, we thank you for today.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.